Welcome. I'm Faye Waterman, the conversation curator. And today, my guest on What's Your Superpower, the podcast, is Danya Bayun. And she is a coach where she empowers people to meet their creativity and their diversity, particularly for professional women. She specializes in guiding them to discover their inner strengths, overcome their self-doubts, and transform into the woman they are inspired to be or aspire to be. Through a blend of mindset mastery, international presence, and embodied action, she empowers you to navigate challenges with resilience, ignite your creativity, and boldly step up into your authentic power. Welcome, Danya, and thank you for your time. I'm excited to be having a conversation with you about what you do with your clients and who you are and where you come from. Can you share a little bit about your backstory and how you got to where you are today, doing what you do?
Sure. Thank you, Faye, for having me. I'm very excited to be on today. Where I've come from and the backstory. Well, everybody has a circuitous story that is meant to get them to where they're supposed to be right at this moment. So I believe everything that has happened and that I have done led me to my true calling, which is coaching. Mind you, I didn't study for this when I went to college or grad school. It was going to be something else, but I think coaching chooses you. You don't choose it. Somewhere along the line, most coaches are coaching without knowing what that is or getting paid for it. So there's an innate desire to help and serve and connect and build rapport that is within endemic to all coaches. So it calls you, and after much calling, you answer and you go to school and you get certified. So my background is completely different than that. I have a bachelor's in political science, another one in psychology, a master's in political science. And then I worked for a good decade managing a boutique law firm, employment law. And so I did all of the back office and the staffing and the customer relations. So I was coaching there too, because clients come to you frayed when they're in a lawsuit. They don't understand the process, they don't want to pay the fees, everything is scary. So it takes a lot of helping them through the process. And then after that, for years, I owned my own design boutique where I did interior design. I did floral design, floral art, events, corporate events, tabletops, whatnot, because I think I was born an artist and it's the language I naturally speak. And then came the pandemic when nobody wanted to have anyone over or have any events. We were hardly seeing a family, let alone having corporate events. So my love of coaching really solidified then, and I went to school and got triple certified, and here I am.
Wow. And with your degrees and your master's and everything, and the experience that you've actually had brings you where you are today. But all those experiences along the way, and as you say, when you were working in the boutique law firm, you were actually coaching people. And I
Yes.
think we do coach in different ways when we're doing something or we're working with someone or someone wants to find out something, but we don't look at us as that. So what is a coach, or what does a coach mean to you? You being a coach, what is it?
Well, that's a wonderful question. I think a coach is not a teacher. A coach is a companion. A coach is somebody who holds up a mirror and asks you the questions perhaps you neither want to ask yourself nor know how to ask yourself, and helps you to create a path, a bridge, if you will, from where you are now to where you aspire to be. But the coach doesn't have the answers because you have a PhD in you. So the coach only aids you, supports you. Your coach is your best ally, your greatest supporter, believes in you in manners that you probably don't believe in yourself. And our job as a coach is to guide you in that self-discovery, that self-transformation, a guide and a friend, I like to say.
And that is so true because, when you engage a coach, it's someone who has your back, someone
Yeah.
you can go to and ask questions, someone that will help you create that clarity around what you need and where you want to go. But as you say, they don't tell you what to do. They facilitate you as a person and take you on a journey, but you're the one who is actually doing the work. I mean, a coach can give you the information, but if you don't do the work, you don't get the results, do you?
That's absolutely true. And even beyond that, the coach may try and teach you, if you will, a format, a process, a framework. But you're right. The work, the onus to do the work is on you. And the work is difficult to go into oneself and realize certain truths and decide of what I'm going to let go and what I'm going to keep is difficult for a lot of people. But on top of the support, a coach's other very important job is your accountability partner until you become your own.
And accountability, right? I think we all need accountability buddies. And a coach is an accountability buddy because, you know, you ask to do things and to get things done. And as you say, the coach is there to support you. If you're having difficulty doing what you need to do, then you can come back and ask the questions. They've got your back all the time. They're supporting you through those challenges that you have or may have and help you get that understanding of who you are, where you want to be, where you want to go, and how you can achieve the things that you want to achieve.
Absolutely. And to pinpoint, perhaps, to learn where the obstacles may be and have a plan of when these obstacles arrive, well, what are we going to do about it so that we don't derail the original plan with the vision as the thing that is pulling you along, right? So it's easier to be pulled by something than to push your way towards something. The pulling is effortless. You know what you want. You envision this thing that you want, be it in your career, in your personal life, or within oneself. And then that helps you to kind of forge ahead, even when there are obstacles, as long as you know what to do with them when they come up.
And you've always got someone there in the background to ask when you're not sure. And that supports you to help you move toward your success, all your successes in life. And I think that doesn't matter how successful you are, you always need a coach. You need that other person to think outside your thoughts so that they can see a different version of it and show that to you so that then you can bring whatever you're thinking about together so that you can move forward. Because we can think about things ourselves all the time, but it's always better to have two heads. I always say two heads is better than one. Because a coach will always throw that different perspective onto what you're thinking, which will open up whatever that challenge is so that you can move forward.
Without a doubt, because I think we can get stuck in our own minds, kind of an echo chamber of your own thoughts. And sometimes you think an inner narrative that may very well be flawed or one that is never going to allow you to meet your potential. But to you, it sounds like the truth within. So you're right. A coach is an outside perspective. And I'd like to add that a good coach also challenges you in areas where you're resisting the change, the growth, because growth is painful and change is scary. But a good coach is going to make you feel safe enough in that container in your relationship with your coach, where you can take the risk of going to these places within and going really deep. Transformational coaching is deep work. So it's not surface emotions. It's stuff that's all the way perhaps from childhood, not therapy by any means, but you have to figure out where the blocks live. Where did they come from? Whose voice are they in if you ever hope to move them?
Yeah, and that's a really difficult one because sometimes you have that fear of you kind of know what it is, but you don't really want to admit it because it's a challenge that you've always suppressed. And when we suppress those challenges, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. And what we need is someone such as yourself, Danya, to actually break through that cycle.
Yes.
To really delve into what it is that's stopping you or preventing you from moving forward, or you can't see something because you're only thinking one way when then the coach will challenge you, and that's, as you say, that's what a coach is all about, to challenge you to be able to see a different way. Let's talk about some of the experiences you've had when you've been coaching a client, Danya.
Primarily, I coach women. I do have some men clients, but the program that I've built is really built for women. And I chose women, professional, ambitious, driven women, usually over 40, as my target audience, because I feel it's a language that I speak. And most coaches coach from experience, from something they have lived. So my primary aim in my practice is to help women to overcome a lot of the self-doubt and the fear of failure and the negative narrative that we tell ourselves within, and try to find a way into exactly what you said earlier, authentic confidence, and to source their validation from within themselves rather than collect it from outside. So my experiences are really very favorable because truly I live for the moment when I see it in the client's eyes on Zoom, and it's like a light bulb turned on and something moved, something shifted, and a realization of something that they may have been blind to, suddenly they can see, and it's truly really rewarding.
And that's a real energy, isn't it? You said a light bulb moment, but there's an energy there that really shines through when there's a breakthrough with a client. Have you got any examples of when you've been working with a client, what sort of struggle or challenge that they've had, that you've worked through that process and got them to the other side, and they've realized that what was preventing them could have been stopped a long time ago, and they could have been further along in their journey? What sort of things have they said to you? What's the experience? You know, you said you see this light bulb moment, you see that energy and change in that person. But what's it like for you? And also, what is it like for that client?
You know, I agree when you say there's energy there, and I would take it further and say there's literally an energy exchange between a client and their coach. So you have to be able to create a place of safety, like I said, a container where the person feels like, come what may, I'm going to be okay, so I can come undone a little bit. Who among us doesn't want, you know, a pair of ears or a shoulder where you can actually say what you will and be heard, understood, supported regardless? Coaching takes it a step further. So I think for me, and this is why I have created the programs that I have, and I try to teach the points that I do, it's because time and time again, I meet amazing women, men and women, but a lot of women who are professional, who have worked very hard, who are able to move in corporate circles and then still have a family and get graduate degrees. And I mean, fabulous, amazing women. And yet the struggle seems like it's the same. If I could close my eyes and just listen, it's as if it's the same client. Time and time again, it's feelings of unworthiness, that no one knows where they come from. Can I do it? Lots of imposter syndrome, lots of feelings of, I'm going to be found out for the fraud that I am at any moment, and the accolades will be removed and they're going to find out, which is nothing can be further from the truth. But I think the struggle is very real. And I think it's two-sided. In our society today, we are driven to compete and produce and do rather than be, lots of doing, creating, making. But I think it's a double-edged sword for women, especially. Society puts on us women some pretty stringent requirements and a very heavy burden just for us to be enough. We work twice as hard just to be heard, just to be seen. But then you add our own inner critic voice, which is harsh and mean and awful and speaks to you in ways you wouldn't talk to, you know, your dog or somebody you hate, but that's our inner narrative. So we have society and cultural norms to deal with, but then we have our inner voice as well. Well, no wonder you feel like you cannot take a proper decision and you're constantly second guessing your value, your abilities, even though you probably have absolutely nothing to worry about. But that's what I get often. So the release is the realization that there is a way out of this kind of fog that your imposter syndrome and your inner narrative is dictating. There is a process out. And I think when women find it and find the strength to become themselves and believe in themselves without going outside and trying to get validation from their spouse, children, accolades at work, the number on the scale, none of that, social media likes, all of this is irrelevant because the only opinion of you that matters is the one you have of you. And once we get to that, then they're unstoppable.
That is so true. The only opinion that really matters is the opinion you have of yourself.
That's
and
right.
as you say, we as women, mostly men can do it as well, but self-sabotage ourselves constantly because of the fear of being judged, the fear of not being good enough, the fear of what do I have to say that anyone wants to listen to? What qualifications have I got? Do I need those qualifications to do what I'm doing? Is life experience enough? So there's always this self-doubt and these questions there that we tell ourselves, these stories in our head that continually, as time goes on, get bigger and bigger until sometime they almost break you. You come to a breaking point and then you realize that you need help, so you ask for help. How important is it, Danya, for people to ask for help before they actually think they need it?
It's crucial because by the time you need it, there's a lot of work that has to be done and a lot of things that have to be undone and unlearned. So I think it's very important to plan for that even ahead. So think of where you want to go. And before the obstacles get there and before you feel lost in the mire, then it's the time to plan before that. For example, take athletes or musicians, artists. They have coaches for exactly that. They don't wait until the talent is muddied. They're there before because they want to make sure that they help you over all the obstacles so that you hit that vision regardless. So it's very important, I think, to take on these teachings and to learn the processes so that you, not that there won't be obstacles, there will, but your ability to deal with them will be much better. You'll be much more prepared to deal with them because there's a plan, there's some kind of map, and you're not alone. Most of us deal with these things by ourselves in our own echo chamber. But when you have a coach, you have somebody to help walk you, you know, through this and to the other side.
So, so important to have someone that you trust.
Yeah.
And you also develop a professional relationship with them. And you know that once you can trust somebody, you can go and ask them any question and you're not going to be judged by your coach.
Right.
You're going to be supported. You're also going to be challenged, as you said earlier. I think we all need to be challenged in certain ways, but there are certain challenges that we struggle with to get through. So therefore, the coach brings in the strategies, the structure for you as the person that's being coached to get through all that self-sabotage, those challenges, those narratives, those stories that get bigger and bigger all the time when we don't ask for help.
That's very true. And being non-judgmental is the cornerstone of proper coaching, because not only do you have to create that safe container, the non-judgment is part and parcel of it. So as a coach, we have to do our own work so that the client's life story or whatever they may be going through doesn't trigger our judgment. So you have to make sure as a judge, you completely park your ego and yourself aside. This has nothing to do with you and has everything to do with your client. So approaching it with in a non-judgmental manner is how you're taught in, you know, proper coaching. So, and I think it's very important. The client feels it. So it creates that sense of safety, that sense of, okay, I can ask these questions or I can try, I can push myself because no one is judging me and I'm safe to do it.
And it is a place of safety. It is a place where you can ask any question. And I always say, no question is a silly question. If it needs to be asked, ask it. And you will solve a problem that's been sitting there for ages.
And someone probably asked it before you.
Yeah. And also, it's like looking at yourself in a mirror and thinking, I don't like myself. But when you're going through coaching, you can begin to get rid of that self-sabotage and look at yourself and say, I'm doing okay. I'm okay here. And it gives a confidence to the client when you've got a really good coach and you are working through a process, the confidence just oozes out and you see yourself as the client being able to achieve anything. You know, the challenges can be thrown in front of you. You can look at them. If you can't see it, then you go to your coach. And I must say, coaches have their own coaches because everyone in business has a coach or a mentor or someone like that, because we all need them so that we can do what we do best and support our clients and open up the big wide world to your clients so that they can move forward and do the things that they want to do.
That's right. And it makes me, and I'm sure all coaches, so happy and proud when a client overcomes an obstacle that we've been working to overcome or achieve something they didn't think they would, or has that aha or that transformation or that emotional release, because you know you've unburdened them from something that they've been holding and they don't even know where it came from or whose voice was it really in. And then they can take a deep breath and like spread their wings and actually go where they're meant to go. I think the greatest loss in life is to never become the person you were meant to be, to never achieve that person you've aspired to be. We all aspire to be someone. Every one of us has a vision of that person. And I think it's the greatest loss if we go through our lives never having become that, or at least come really close to it, because then you've never really met your potential or lived at your very best, lived the way you were meant to. So this is why coaching is so important to help you get there.
And we don't want to get to the end of life and say, if only, if only. And there are a lot of people that get to their end of the life and say, if only I had. So we don't want to live with regret. And I've had conversations with people who've had some regrets, but then what they've done after a conversation is gone and overcome whatever it was and achieved it. And how good do you feel when you've achieved something that's been hanging over your head for such a long time that you do a happy dance? Well, I do a happy dance.
We all do a happy dance. Yes, something that's been dictating your choices and leading somewhere that really is not meant for you. And I think the primary aim of my practice is, my personal why, is I don't want women to waste years, maybe decades, and untold thousands of dollars down a path that is not meant for them, that their inner critic chose. The woman never really chose it. It was just chosen for her. Her fear, her wounds, her shortcomings chose it, but that's, we deserve better than that.
Absolutely. You know, it's all about finding out what our purpose is in life, what our purpose is, what our passion is. And it's really important to be able to find your magic and your brilliance, I call it. It's your superpowers. And find that magic and that brilliance which is sitting inside you, and it may be suppressed quite deeply. And what happens when you're working with a coach, they manage to help you and support you bring out that magic and brilliance which has been suppressed for such a long time, and allow it to shine on the outside so that your clients and audience can see you, the real person, the authentic you. Dania, can you give me an example of one thing that one client, no names or anything, has really struggled with, but they've overcome it, and how did you help them overcome that?
Yes, no names because
Yeah,
coaching is
no names.
confidential.
Yeah.
But you know, for example, I have a client and it's been a lot of wondering. They want to start their own coaching business, but then they're working a full-time job as well that has nothing to do with it. And every time they make steps forward, there are some steps back and some hesitations. The person is a lovely human being, so they're always worried about how to balance the two. And what we were working on is a very small concept called counterbalance. There is really no balance, because balance, it gives you the notion of equality of the time you're spending on task A and task B, which is a fallacy. It's counterbalance. So you say, I'm going to take this much time and effort away from family or work or whatever to grow this business, but I'm going to pay it back in another manner. It cannot be in the same amount of time and effort, but you find a counterbalance so that the two things have a fulcrum, and that's the effort that you put in so that you're able to move them both forward. Now, the primary work always is on trying to suppress that I'm not good enough conversation that we all have within, and to try and take some of that and turn it around. So reframe is very important, to pause, identify the thought that's coming at you, detach from the thought. You are not the thought, it's just a thought, right? So you don't have to identify as the thought. And then to take some time and then reframe it and say, well, wait a minute, what evidence is there that I'm not going to be able to do that? When am I really the person who doesn't, you know, make any of these presentations work? Or is it, I'm never going to be able to write this book? Where is the evidence? So when you step out a little bit and you list them, it's kind of ludicrous when you look at it, because there isn't a lot of evidence. There is more evidence of the fact that you can make it. And so learning to reframe these negative thoughts into something positive, and then to build a small routine of self-affirmation and a small routine of looking for the positive in your day, to make sure that you acknowledge your wins, the small and the big wins, because you're trying to overwhelm your inner critic with the positive, with evidence that I got this. I think I got this. Thank you. So there is learning about whether you or not you want to deal with your inner critic as a child, because our inner critic was born in our childhood, in our formative years. So there's a school of thought that approaches the inner critic with a lot of compassion as a hurt inner child. And then you can parent that child. Another school of thought is to say, okay, thank you, I recognize this. Please go back to the back seat so I can drive quietly. So there are many ways to deal with it. But this particular client, the idea of counterbalance, the idea of being fair to oneself and one's dreams has been very important. And to overcome the doubts by looking them straight in the eye and say, based on what? What should I believe this thought because of what? And then working on the reframe and making sure that we have. So I break down my notes, and I send notes after every meeting to the clients, and we break them down about what we talked about. More importantly, what were our spiritual, emotional goals, and what are the tasks we're working on? Because these two things go hand in hand. So you have to acknowledge how you feel, and if you've perhaps promised yourself to meditate or to not think this thought or to say these affirmations, well, these make it on the to-do list, as well as the tasks of I've got to do A, B, and C. That way we're doing our own counterbalance within so that we move forward.
And that,
in a nutshell.
Yeah, it sounds easy. You need that support when you know what you think about, you bring about, is what I always say, because your
Yes.
thoughts, your feelings, and your actions are what you bring about in your life. So to change that, if you can't change it yourself, then you get yourself a coach. You get someone you can trust to help you move forward and break down those barriers that you've built up over the years. And you say your inner child can be your biggest critic. But it's really, really interesting to start breaking down those barriers and going, oh, so I've been making up these stories. I've been doing this when I could have achieved this thing a lot sooner. I could have done this if I'd only asked for help
right
along the way. And I think we have this fear of being judged when we've got these narratives, these stories, these self-sabotaging stories going all the time. You think, well, I don't want anyone to know about what's going on in my life or my head, because it's embarrassing. It can be shameful. But once you find someone who you can trust, creates that safe space for you to be able to share and break down those barriers to get to where you want to go.
You know, I love that you use the word shame, and shame is a really potent energy, very, very negative energy, because it's all of that anger turned inward. But I think what happens when we are ashamed of whatever it may be, it's whatever it may be is hiding in the dark at the very core of who you are. So unless we are able to shed light on that, compassionate light, and add gratitude, but shine a light on it and bring it up and name it what it is and figure out where it came from, perhaps your inner voice isn't even yours. Perhaps it's someone else's voice that you have internalized, hypercritical parent, a teacher, somebody who was an authority figure when you were a child, or things you heard, you're never going to be good enough, you won't amount to anything. Well, now you're thinking, you're telling this to yourself, but we learn to recognize whose voice is this really? Is it yours, your inner child, or is it someone else's? So then you start to break the power that shame has. And it's very immobilizing when you're ashamed, because you're unwilling to take a step because there is so much fear, it's dragging you down. And that opens it up, brings it up to the light so that you can get rid of it. And then it just dematerializes with the work.
And then you wonder, why didn't I do this before?
Do it. Yes.
Yes. And
yes.
And it is a fear. It's that fear of the unknown that stops us from doing what we need to do to get us to where we need to go. And I think we have to break down those barriers, break down that fear, because what is fear? We create it ourselves. We, you know, the experiences that we've had in life and where we are today, and those experiences can prevent us from achieving the things that we want to achieve. So back to coaching again, asking for that help, finding the right coach. Question for you, Danya, is when someone's looking for a coach, what sort of questions do they need to ask to find the right coach for them?
That's a good question. I think you not only, it's really twofold. You have to make sure that that coach does the work that you need them to do. So if you're working, let's take grief, for example, if you're working through grief, perhaps a business coach isn't going to be the correct coach, or a general life coach maybe isn't niche enough that their expertise is solely in your pain points. So my suggestion is to find a coach and narrow down what is their specialty so that it completely matches what you require help with. I am partial to having your coach having had ICF schooling or an ICF certificate or an ICF approved program, just because that way they're taught proper coaching and proper techniques of open questions and how to hold space and how to help a client step up. But I also feel that you have to get on a call. You have to talk person to person. This is not an interview. You just want to make sure your energy is aligned, because this person will come to know things about you you don't even yet know. So it's really important that you feel safe, comfortable, confident, that you like this person and you feel like, you know what, I can talk to this person and I'm going to be heard. I'm going to be seen. There is confidentiality and I'm safe. Without that, they could have the best certifications in the world, but these two things need to align so that you are able to kind of come out of your shell and do all the vulnerable work that needs to be done.
Oh, absolutely. Totally agree with you. We just have to take that first step to make contact with somebody, to ask the questions, to find out where you need to go, and is there someone who specializes in the area that you need help with? Could be a business coach, it could be, you know, mental health issues that you have. but always asking for help, ask the question, because there's always someone there that can help you, support you through the process of wherever you are in life to get to where you want to go. Now, Danya, I want to ask you, what is it that keeps you doing the work that you do? What is it that drives you?
I think knowing that there is a need that needs to be served in a person, a rapport to be built, but I think when you're called to serve, it's very hard to articulate it because it's really a feeling more than anything intellectual. There's almost a drive to want to help, an inability to look away when you could actually help that person. They're drowning in this thing that you have a solution for. It's almost unconscionable to not to want to help, because you've either done it with another client or read about it, created a program around it. So you have keys that will open all of these locks that are locking their potential within. So I think the drive is really the human need to connect and help and serve and to see the process, to see them improve, to see them happy, to see them compassionate to themselves, to see them grateful for being themselves is really, it's what a coach does this for, I think.
What would you say your superpowers are? What is it, the vision that you see in people? What is it?
I think it's difficult to talk about oneself, but I think I have an innate gift for rapport. I've always been able to put people at ease. I've always been able to speak to people one-on-one, even in groups, even just friends, and have really intimate conversations. I tend to sense where perhaps the pain or the cracks are. And I gravitate with the need to help and to make them feel supported. So I think building rapport is one of them, and being able to see them in a light they haven't yet seen themselves in, you know, and being able to help really ameliorate that image in their mind and to help them see it and appreciate that.
Yeah, and that is so important. Is there any advice that you can actually give to anyone who's listening to the podcast about coaching, whether they want to become a coach or whether they're looking for a coach? What is it that you would like to say to them?
Oh, that's a beautiful way to put it. I think quickly, for anybody thinking of becoming a coach, if you're thinking it, if you feel drawn to serve and to help, it's already within you. And it has probably come true in another dimension. You just need to see it through in this one. Meaning it's not a thought. It's not a, oh, maybe one day, if there is a drive to help, if there is a desire to put together a program to help people out of the mire that they're in and for them to better themselves, then you're being called to share something that was gifted to you by the universe, right? An innate gift. And it's very appropriate to want to share that gift with your clients. Now, my bigger advice would have to be for somebody thinking, do I need a coach? Do I want to coach? What does that mean? And when I get on calls with prospects or potential clients, this is what I say. My biggest question to them is, if you do nothing and you continue as you are, where do you see yourself in 5, 10, 15? Will you be happy like you want to be? Will you achieve A, B, and C? You know, if nothing changes, nothing will change. So unless you're okay with where you are now, and if you weren't, you wouldn't have gotten on a call with a coach at all, which means there is something within you that is calling for that change. But if you do nothing about it, you're going to sit here in this, you know, this place, and the years are just going to go by, which takes me to my bigger why. I don't want anybody to be years, decades down this path. You can just make a U-turn and come back out, and we'll go a different direction that you choose, that isn't chosen for you. It's truly life-changing. It's life-altering. We don't have time, because many people second guess themselves and think, well, one day, sometime, but you know what? This is not a dress rehearsal. This is the real deal. This is it. This is the show. You are the star. There is an audience. Life is on. There are no takes and, you know, timeouts and I'll do it again. If now, then if not now, then never.
So, so true. We only have one chance at this life and we've got to make the most of it.
Absolutely.
Beautiful. Thank you, Danya, for your wealth of knowledge, experience, and expertise. I'm sure that the listeners will get a lot out of what we have been talking about. I'm Faye Waterman, the Conversation Curator. This has been What's Your Superpower? And my guest has been Danya Bayoun. Thank you for listening, and it's bye from me for now.
Thank you so much, Faye, for having me. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure.